I wanted to get a sense from you, as you start this new role, what's your strategy for the next few years?
I believe in strategy being a collaborative process. So I have a vision for the museum, but I would say strategy-wise, I really want to work with the staff and develop that together. I haven't been here long enough to really know what the strategy should be. I think the staff has been here a very long time. They are passionate about this institution, and I need to look to them to help me guide that strategy.
You talked about a vision, though. What's the vision? What do you see?
The vision is kind of an overall vision for museums in general. Museums are at a crossroads. There are so many museums that are becoming less and less relevant to people and audiences. And what we need to do as institutions is to create opportunities for people to come where they feel like they belong in a museum. In the past, museums have been places where we are the tastemakers. We tell people what they should like and what's important. And I think, especially with the younger generation of millennials, Gen Zers, they want to see things that they're interested in, that they care about, that they're inspired by. And so we need to look at them to get an idea of what we should be thinking about and doing, but then also creating content in a way that they're going to enjoy and make them want to come to museums, right? So that's kind of my vision for museums in general, and that's what I want to see happen at RISD.
Something you were just saying, and I'm wondering, that you're at a crossroads, that museums are at a crossroads. Is it because people see museums differently, or is it just the content? You were talking about content. Is it just that? What's the crossroads?
When I tell people like that I work in a museum, sometimes they're like really excited, and sometimes they're like, oh, I don't go to museums. Museums kind of freak me out. I don't really understand art. Some people think they need to dress up to go to a museum. You know, there are all these misconceptions about museums, and it's because of the way that museums have traditionally been. They're kind of old and stodgy. They don't necessarily speak to all of the relevant things that are happening in our society. But the thing is, the content that's in there is actually relevant to what we're doing in the world, right? Like we need to look to history to be able to think about the future. And how do we have those conversations in a way that can really inspire people, that they see their own selves, themselves, in the work that exists in museums? So I think in that sense, museums are definitely at a crossroads. They have to think about engaging their audiences, thinking about community in ways that they didn't have to in the past. I started in museums in about 1995, and I think that we told people what to do and what to see. It's kind of this top-down mentality, and that's what younger people are kind of rebelling against at this point. They don't want the top-down mentality. They want to be part of the conversation, and I think museums need to be places where you can have those kinds of conversations.
Are there any plans to build stronger relationships, collaborate more with the local community?
You know, yes, and I think that the museum has been doing that. Our attendance has grown astronomically. Like, we have actually rebounded from pre-pandemic. There are very few museums out there that have actually gained more attendance. I mean, we're looking at our attendance numbers right now. People are coming. We're creating relevant content already, and what we need to do is amplify that more. It's about expanding that further so that even more people feel that it's relevant to their lives. I mean, RISD Museum is a very unique place. It's an academic art museum on an art school campus, right? So we're really important to the faculty, to the students. It's the way in which faculty teach, it's the way that students learn, but also the RISD Museum is the largest art museum in the state of Rhode Island. It is the civic museum of the state of Rhode Island and Providence, and so we play a different kind of role, and that is really, really important.
How much of that role is to help these young artists to find their voice as artists, to build their career? To become artists of the world?
Oh, it's absolutely a large portion of this, but it's not just teaching the students here. It's about making sure that younger generation, I mean, there's less and less arts in the schools these days, right? So few schools have art even one day a week. Maybe they have it every other week. Museums are a place where students can come and learn. We have so many programs here, all the way from infants, all the way through, you know, college students, adults. We try to educate everyone about art. And I think the less and less that arts plays a role in public schools, the more in which art museums become important. and the less and less people become not attached, but like engaged with art, the less they're going to be in touch with their own humanity. So we have a really important role to play in that way.
The art world and museums haven't always been the most accessible or inclusive spaces in terms of the work that's on the walls. As you begin this role, I'm wondering, how do you see the RISD Museum becoming more inclusive of artists and groups that have, again, historically been underrepresented in the art world?
So I think museums are starting to do that work. I think all museums are trying that. I think especially post-COVID, post-racial reckoning, all of those things, I think museums have really been thinking about that. RISD Museum has done a fantastic job. They've been thinking about it deeply, but there's a lot more to do, you know? And I think inclusion is about not just welcoming people, but having them be participating and active in our society and in our museum. So I'm not sure. Like, I honestly don't know all of the things that need to happen. I haven't been here long enough to be able to, like, really say. But I think that the work that we're doing now is what we want to expand on.
In other jobs, have you seen that?
I think in other places I've seen it, it's about acquiring artwork and showing more artists of color. But what's actually important is also inclusivity within the workplace, right? Within the museum itself. And it's important to have diverse staff all throughout the museum so that they can tell all different kinds of stories at any given time. So I think that there's opportunities in lots of ways just beyond just buying art by diverse artists and representing diverse artists. It's about creating an inclusive workplace. It's about creating inclusive programming for our audiences. It's about bringing in diverse audiences. It's like so many different things. It's a lot of work. It's really hard to do. But I think that this place has started that. Like, they want to be in an inclusive place where everybody is welcome and here because they want to be here, not because we're forcing them to be here or anything like that. So it's already got a good start, and that's, I have worked in many different places, and we look at every institution looks at diversity very differently. So I love the opportunity of being able to help develop that vision toward a more inclusive place.
This is a really cool story that popped up not too long ago, where there, it seems like there's an effort to, you know, find art that was acquired, perhaps in an unsavory way. And museums have been, you know, have had these on display for a while, but, you know, nobody ever asked, or maybe they didn't want to ask, where did you get it? How'd you get it? It belongs to another country. It belongs to another group of people. And I'm not saying that, I don't know that RISD's ever had this problem, but I, as a person in your position and the places that you've worked, I'm just wondering how museums acquire this. I don't know if you've seen these stories. I know there was a story out of New York where the DA there was acquiring work that belonged to the Turkish nation. And so I'm just wondering, my question to you is this: how do museums acquire art? Is this a problem nationally of where we're getting the art? Are we getting it legally? Are we doing this ethically?
Right.
Or, and how, I mean, as just an art fan, how much of the art do I look at? Do I know, like, oh my God, maybe this is stolen. This belongs to somebody else. Why am I get to enjoy it when it shouldn't be here? But I don't know. I wanted just your take, if you wanted to share on that.
Sure. Actually, this happened recently. So before I arrived, I believe last year, there was a Benin bronze that RISD returned to, along with the Smithsonian, the National Gallery. It was an article that was written. You know, I wasn't here, so I can't really speak to it, but the essence is that it was stolen. It wasn't our work, really. But I think overall, that colonial way of thinking is really outdated, and I think all museums know that. It's hard because some of the institutions, their foundational collections are colonial collections, right? And I can't speak to those collections necessarily. I think that that's a reckoning that they have to figure out themselves.
What's that process?
I mean, there's provenance, right? Like, people have to do a lot of research. It's a lot of work for museums to do that provenance work. But when there is a claim, I think every institution does their due diligence to make sure that any object that's been acquired illicitly in some way should be reviewed and then decided upon. I think each institution deals with it differently. I think the DA is doing the, you know, doing their job. Like, that's their job, right? And I think that that's important for museums to really do that research and identify the things that need to be returned, I guess.
I was wondering about how museums work to acquire art. Is it competitive or cooperative?
That's a good question. It can be both. If there is a collection that a group of museums are interested in, they're kind of competing for those collections. Sometimes it's cooperative because you can acquire it and split the collection. If you're talking about acquisitions in general, I think it's hard. Art has become so expensive. So many institutions, especially a place like RIDSE, you know, we don't have the funds to buy the big $10 million pieces or things like that. Only larger institutions can do that. But more and more I see institutions kind of sharing. And I think it's really nice because you're not going to show it all the time, right? Museums are fancy hoarders, is what I like to say. And, you can't constantly be collecting and then also expect to put it all out. So having an opportunity to share it with another organization is awesome, because then you show it, they show it, you show it, they show it. You know, like it's a really nice way to be able to make sure that the art that people should really experience is being experienced by as many people as possible.